this sort of thing, you might think, well, what is it all about? What does it mean? As I said, we take into account the words of Jesus, who talks about how precious children are. It's he who gives us a sense of the eternal value of children, not just as future this or future that, but them being valuable in themselves, every human being of incredible worth that God loves and cherishes. Now, in order to understand a little about what dedication means, I want to tell you about a journey that took place thousands of years ago. And that was the bit that Victoria read. What happened was, we know that there was a people that God had spoken to through his prophets to say that he wanted them to live a special way, but also to be sort of custodians of knowledge about him. He wanted them to be a blessing to all the earth. And so they were asked to live a particular way. But in actual fact, they didn't, and they went away from God, and he called them back again many times through prophets that he sent to them. And they were warned that if they, you know, he pleaded with them, but they were warned that if they would not return to him, a foreign power would invade, take them captive, and carry them into a far-off country. And just as predicted, it happened exactly as predicted. And we don't just read the account of that in the Bible. It's carved in stone on a huge lump of rock in the British Museum, because the person that took them all away captive, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to brag about it. So it did happen. It's a fact of history. But while they were in captivity in the other land, they were told, they were promised that they would be able to return someday. And so patiently they waited. Well, I say patiently. I don't know how patiently they waited, but they waited. And then, perhaps in a way that nobody could have expected, the emperor, Artaxerxes, issued a decree. And that was the decree that Victoria had read from. You know, as I say, we have these things in the Bible, but some of these things are recorded elsewhere as well. These documents, these were not primitive people. They kept documents. They recorded things very carefully. And so we have this letter from Artaxerxes, and he tells the people, now is the time. You can go and rebuild your temple. Not only that, but he tells them, you are going to carry great riches. And he who has to be obeyed, he gives the order that they are to be given. And it's a great list there, and I won't repeat it. But it's all sorts of things, oil, silver, gold, everything. And there they have this great privilege. They can return to their homeland, and they will carry mountains of treasure. So what do they do about it? Well, the first thing they do is Ezra, the leader of the group, he gets them all together and he says, I proclaimed a fast. He got them all in a particular place and he said, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. But he still has a problem, you see. They're going to ask God to get them to this land safely, but everybody knows that they are carrying mountains of silver and gold. What a problem. Great to be told by the emperor, you have all this and you can go, but suddenly everybody knows. A guy said to me once, he said, I've been thinking, I'm joining the Navy. I said to him, oh, really? He was a young guy. And what do you think? I said, well, is it Merchant Navy or Royal Navy? And he said, well, Royal Navy. I said, well, great, you'll see the world. I said, tell me, what are those big things that you all live on in the water? He says, well, the ships. I said, oh, I've always thought of them as targets. And he looked at me horrified, and I realized he'd never thought of that. Next time I saw him, I said, how's it going? You know, the application. He said, I've changed my mind. Here, they were suddenly made targets. Great riches, but oh no, everybody's going to know that they're carrying these riches. And he said, I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks after him. But his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted, they're doing it again now, so we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. I remember reading this years ago thinking, and he answered their prayer. What did he do? What happened? How did this problem get solved? And it goes on to say that basically he got together priests, these people who were meant to be representatives of God. He actually mentions their name. We've still got their names in these ancient records. And he says, and I weighed out to them the offerings of silver and gold and the articles that the king, his advisors and his officials and all Israel present there had donated for the house of God. He then tells us actually how much it was, the weight of the gold, the weight of the silver, etc. What he did was he said to himself, or he said it was, God answered his prayer. So what he's saying is God placed this idea in his mind and suddenly realized, wait a minute, if all of this treasure is for the rebuilding of a house of worship to God, this is God's stuff. Instead of carrying it on the long journey and then saying, God, we place it here, it's for your use, he decided no. He would hand it over to God at the beginning of the journey. So then, during the journey, he could be carefree, because God will look after what is his own. If God gets robbed, well, that's God's problem, he was thinking. I will hand it all over. Even as we travel, it all now belongs to God. Another way of saying it is he dedicated it to God. And really, that's what we do when we dedicate children. We hand them over to God at the beginning of their journey in life. We know that life is full of stuff, good things and awful things. And what we're doing is, by what you've seen this morning, is we hand the children over to God early in their journey, believing that now they belong to him and he will look after his own. It's a public event in a community of faith, and others see it, but perhaps you're not really surprised. If you're a visitor, you're not really surprised to know that Christian parents end up praying over their children before they're even born. We dedicate our children to God almost as soon as we hear that we're expecting, because that's what we do. But in a formal way, although you might not think it was very formal, but in a gathering of faith, that's what we did just then. We dedicated them to God. We handed them over at the start of their journey, and we trust and are confident that God looks after his own. But not just children, actually. The Christian lifestyle is one where we all, who are Christians, we hand over our lives and we hand over our possessions. We hand over all that we are, all that we hope to be. That was what that song was about that we sang just before the break. We believe that everything ultimately belongs to God. And there's nothing that we can give to God that will make him richer, because it all comes from him in the first place. But still, we hand everything over to him. If you too, whether a believer or you, this is all new to you, but if you too would like to think right now, when was the last time you handed things over to God? You might be agonizing over, you know, you might be praying for somebody and agonizing over a real difficulty somebody's going through. Or you might be worried about your own life or your finances. Could be anything. You too can say, Jesus, I hand this over to you and ask that you will keep this safe. That's what I did with my whole life. One day when I said, please forgive me, come into my life, make me new, I hand my life over to you right now. You know, In this city, we have a sad thing that happens, in that we have loads of students coming in, and every year we have a new influx of students, full of hope, full of excitement. But every year we have a few who are overwhelmed by troubles and overwhelmed by perhaps it's pressures upon them, and who knows how confused they might get and where these confusions come from. But sadly, every year we have some who take their own lives in our city. What a tragedy. If only, instead of ending their life that way, they could have ended their life by saying, from now on, I hand it over to someone who can keep it safe and someone who can carry me to the end of my journey. So whatever you're thinking about, whatever your troubles are, whatever your joys are, however rich or poor you may be, right now, yet again, we can say, Lord, I hand everything over. I'm going to pray, and then that's the end of our meeting. Let's pray together. Let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, we do hand over to you all that we know to be precious, whether it's our children, our marriage, our ambitions, our plans, our hopes, our dreams. We hand them all over to you now again and ask that you will carry them through the journey, God, and keep them safe. We thank you for your everlasting love, the revelation, the revealing of your love to us. We invite you, Jesus, whether the people here who've walked with you a long time or those that are very new to this, we invite you to teach us more about your life and your love, that we might have some sense of how high and deep and wide and long it is, the love of our God. And so we pray that your blessing will be upon us as we leave this place. We've already dedicated to you those children and those parents. We trust you. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.